I think Jerry's trying to get a pay increase, don't you? I'm not going to talk about concerns except for a little bit at the end. I'm going to talk about Fairhaven. It's been a long time. It's good to see everyone. I guess my biggest concern right now is that there are so many of us here that probably don't know Fairhaven very well, or at all, perhaps. And that's not your fault. But I know that the younger generation probably has not had the opportunity to get to know Fairhaven like you should. As Jerry mentioned, in 1964, that first board of directors, those first men, along with the congregation that had that vision, and I've often wondered what the atmosphere was like at the old National and High building during that time. That was also close to the time that, not too far off, that they also had the same vision to start Happy Hollow, and worked very hard on both of those, devoted and dedicated much of their time and efforts and energies and money to make sure that both of those were up and running. But that particular board of directors was Rachel Smith, Fred Wilson, M.G. Pamplin, Wayne Cobb, Bill Harris, Woodrow Loveland, and Ernest Porter. I've been here since 89 as either house parents or a director since 93. I had the pleasure of knowing Brother Rachel and got to spend some time talking with him about the work. I knew Mr. Wilson. Knew Mr. Harris, and of course, many of us knew Brother Woodrow and his love for the church and for the works of the church and things. Some of the others I personally didn't know, but I know some of you older folks knew them well also. So I often wondered, about the atmosphere surrounding those projects at that time. It had to be something that was exciting, encouraging, involving everyone. I can go back and look at old picture albums, and we can see groups of ladies after it first started sitting down in the basement knitting socks. Oh, yes, they were knitting socks, knitting clothes, doing things, projects like that. I can go back and see men doing volunteer efforts on various projects at various different times. And I can't help but think that it was a time of tremendous pride and encouragement for the congregation. And our goal is hopefully maybe we can get there again. When they first formed Fairhaven, it says the Fairhaven Not-for-Profit Corporation is formed for the following purpose: to form a not-profit home for children up to the age of 21 years who have inadequate parental care in an effort to provide a suitable place for them to live and learn in as normal a manner as possible, to conduct and emphasize religious training in accordance with the principles and beliefs of the Church of Christ, there being no requirement, however, that the children or their parents have a Church of Christ background. Also, to employ the necessary persons to act as house parents for the children, necessary help, and to do all the other such things that are incidental or conducive to the attainment of these objectives. And said corporation to have general powers set out in Section 355, on and on. But, says the control of this corporation shall be vested in a board of trustees. Trustees shall be selected by the elders of the National and High Church of Christ, Springfield, Missouri. No person shall occupy the position of trustee at Fairhaven Children's Home who is not an elder of said National and High Church of Christ. And his term of office as a trustee shall be contingent upon his holding the office of elder. So that's where it all started. That's how the original makeup, and it continues to this day, as far as overall oversight of Fairhaven. When we go out to other congregations, many of them often ask, especially, I think, probably maybe more of our smaller rural congregations will ask, are you under the oversight of an eldership? They want to know that if we are under the oversight. And I say, yes, yes, we are. In other words, is our governing oversight an eldership of a congregation? And that usually leads into a discussion about Fairhaven and how we operate. Types of children we serve are children that are referred to us through various sources. It can range all the way from private referrals, from a family perhaps in crisis. Most often it's going to be referrals made by Division of Family Services, Juvenile Court Services, from the various counties throughout Missouri, primarily the southern half of Missouri. The children we serve, you serve. Every time you come to church and you teach a Bible class, you're serving these children. I oftentimes have an opportunity to see children that are come back that are now adults, or we hear from them on the phone, and you know, they don't often ask too many questions about what's going on in Fairhaven, but a lot of times they'll ask about someone that formed a special relationship with them at church, someone that befriended them in some way. They never forget that. We've got a young man right now that he hadn't been gone all that long, but he always asks, you know, what about Dennis and Carolyn? Yeah, because he had a conversation with Dennis and Carolyn. Yeah. So when you have them in your Bible classes, our young men and women, they're great kids. They're kids. They have their struggles in life. It's not their fault. I would like to share a few things with you that are very personal from some of the kids. I think it will make an impact on you a little bit. But before I do that, if you've ever been a part of Fairhaven, would you please stand? And when I say a part of it, let's talk about direct staff. Our staff right now, Brad, where are you, Brad? Did you leave already? Brad is back, he and his wife Kathy. Becky works with us in the office. Donna has been at Fairhaven, how many years, Donna? 46? I had 52 on here, so that's close. 46 years. Debbie, where are you at? My wife, Debbie, we have lived on the Fairhaven campus since 1989, with the exception of about a six-month period. I don't know how we would live if we went back into a neighborhood, or I don't know. We have a little place in Arkansas, and we go down there, and we sit around and look at each other, and after about 20 minutes, we're tired of that, so you know, we're ready to come on back home. But that's been a part of our life. We've seen a lot of wonderful things and some that not so good. House parents that we currently have, Josh, I think I've seen Josh Carlisle. Where's Josh? Sherry has got their children down there, or their kids at Union Hill. Debbie and David Kern. David's here with us tonight. David and Debbie have been at Fairhaven how many years, David? 19 years. David and Carol Griffith are our newest house parents. They came to us just recently. I think they're at Union Hill tonight. And they have just started, so they haven't left yet. I'm waiting for that U-Haul to pull up in the middle of the night, though. So Todd and Brandy are back here. Todd and Brandy came to us from Colorado. And Todd and Brandy have been out there now 9. Going on 10? All right, okay. David and Karen Grimm have been with us a couple of years as well. We have lots of you that have volunteered down at the thrift store and continue to do so. And it takes everybody. It takes all of us to try to make Fairhaven, to make it work. I want to share a few things with you tonight. Kind of difficult sometimes to know exactly what direction to go when I make a presentation, but since this congregation has been a part of Fairhaven's life since the start. I think so. I'm not going to mention names when I read some things, but I want you to listen to what is being said. And these are letters from kids, or grown-ups now in many cases. Sometimes they were still kids at the time, that were at Fairhaven, and listen to what they had to say. And this is a letter from a man who's past 50 now, but he wrote us a letter talking about his time at Fairhaven. It's been 32 years ago I left, and there isn't a day goes by that I don't think of Fairhaven at least once or twice. The other day when I called and I talked to Donna Jordan, it brought back a lot of memories. Her parents were my clothing sponsors. I cannot even imagine the sacrifices everyone that works or even involved at Fairhaven makes. I was there for 5 years, and I know I was a handful. That's what we usually hear. I was a handful, you know. And I am now 50 years old. I'm a father of four and a grandfather of two. It's hard sometimes for me to deal with immediate family situations, but to take on six or eight other lives and situations could only be a calling from God. I now realize, not fully, but somewhat, what sacrifices life and the people of Fairhaven must give. They give up their privacy. They give up their, oftentimes any financial opportunity. They give up personal things. They sometimes leave family and friends behind. And then he goes on to mention a few. And then he says, thank you and everyone involved with Fairhaven for all your sacrifices, love, commitment, and for putting your life on hold for me and my brother and all the other people you've helped over the years. And he says, there's one thing that I would like to pass on to all the young people. The world does not owe you anything. Do not make life-changing decisions without putting a lot of thought, a lot of understanding, sometimes even counseling, and a lot of prayer. If you make the right choices in life, the world and God will offer you more in life than you could ever imagine. Pretty good. Yeah. This is another letter. This is from one of our little boys who was there in the 90s, little Asian young man, sweet young kid. Anyway, he left, and this is his letter. I'll never forget the first step I took into Fairhaven in the summer of 94. I wasn't scared or worried about anything. For some reason, I knew I would be safe and I would love being here. Through the years I've been at Fairhaven, I sometimes ran into making wrong decisions, but I learned. I've also been through sad times or bad times, and some of you guys found the way to encourage me to go on. You always gave me a chance to talk. Through the years, there have been many different changes in my life that you have always led me, but you've always led me back to the right direction. The most important thing I want you guys to know is that you truly gave me is eternal love and life. When I was at home, I never went to church or cared about anything, especially about God. My dad was a Buddhist, so I knew if I ended up at home, I would be pretty much going in that direction. I honestly say that when I took the step to Fairhaven, it was the biggest starting step of my life. I was surrounded by Christians who loved me. You led me to a Christian life. I see you guys as angels from God to help us kids out here. You don't know how much I respect you for all you've done to me. As I depart from Fairhaven, I know God is doing this for me. He's putting me around a Christian family that will care for me and help lead me to heaven. Overall, I honestly enjoyed being here and maturing here. I'll never forget Fairhaven and their staff. I hope you guys understand how I feel about this and how happy I am to tell you this. Please keep up the good work. Please pray for me. Says, I stole this line from somebody else, but I really do mean it. Your love will be engraved in my heart forever. Thank you again for giving me a family. I'm leaving today, and I might not see some of you guys again, but I don't think so, because I think I'll see all of you in heaven. Young man, let's keep up with him a little bit. He lives out on the West Coast. Every year at Christmas, he sends us a Christmas card with a picture of him and his wife and his children. And he sends a support check. He sends a support check. Here's one that you'll find interesting. They're not all like that. Dear Barney, when blank was born, she didn't turn out right. He's talking about his house mother here. She turned out to be an angry woman. And I really don't like her. She needs to take some management classes. Can you please get me out of here? And then there's a whole page of pleases and a half a page of pleases on the back. I thought that was good. Dear Barney, I'm sorry for riding on Fairhaven property and for riding on my sister's property. I should never have done that, and I want you to forgive me, because deep down you are a forgiving person. So there, for I'm sorry, Barney, and I'm sorry that all of us at House 3 and all of Fairhaven, because we love you, especially House 3, because you are a forgiving person. It was working on me there, wasn't it? One here that I think I'll share with you. It's a little bit more challenging. It's got a little bit more stuff to it, and it really wasn't a letter to me. It was a letter from one of our young ladies, teenagers, years ago, and she gave us a copy of it. It was a letter to her mother, and I can't read it all. There's four or five pages here, but I kind of highlighted some things I want to share with you to kind of give you an idea of what goes on and what's inside our kids sometimes in their emotions and in their state of life. And it says, Mom, I was so happy to get your letter today and see your beautiful handwriting. I miss you a lot. My counselor at Fairhaven said he called you about 5:30. He was wanting to try to set up a time to start and have family counseling, but all he could get was your answering machine. School is going good. There's only a couple of classes I need to study real hard for and try to get those grades up. And then she goes on talking a little bit about that. It's hard for me to want to be with you because I know I can't. But I know that God has a reason for everything that happens and what he does. You need to know how much I love you. And you need to know how much I love God. Right now, the two people I love the most, I think, need to get to know each other. I don't think she's referring that God needs to get to know her. I think she's telling her mom, you need to get to know God. And she goes on to say, what I am trying to say is that I want you and stepdad's name to start going to church every Wednesday and Sunday to try and get your life back on the right track. I'm sure there's a church around where you live, and your church family could help you with a lot of things that they can help with you to get through and kick the drug habit, because I know you can't do it by yourself. And she goes on to say, you need to get back on the path to heaven. I know you need help getting your problem fixed, and the sooner you do, the sooner you can have your normal life back. I'm pretty sure by this time I'm probably the only one that wants to come home. You've already pushed the rest away, and they don't want to have anything to do with you. You need to have the strength to put the drugs out of your life, so why don't you do it? I'm tired of being in foster care. You need to get a hold of yourself with those drugs that you're dying slowly from. You can change your life around so there is a chance you can save yourself, but you can only do it. I love you very much. I don't want you to die. I want you to be able to see my babies, but not while you're doing drugs. And then she goes on to say a few other things and close it out. That's not too untypical or atypical. Child is basically trying to raise the parent. You know, the child in this case was trying to raise the parent. The unfortunate outcome is Mom didn't heed the advice, and Mom didn't make it. Yeah, Mom didn't make it. But anyway, those are just a few things there from children that we have that I think kind of puts things in perspective a little bit. You know, when you get to know our kids and get to spend some time with them, you can see a lot of things in them pretty quickly. You can see that there's oftentimes pain. You can see that there's unresolved issues. You can see that there's a lack of understanding. The basic question of why is a challenge for them. You know, when I say why, I'm saying, why am I in care? Little boy that used to be at Todd and Brandy's house, when they told him he had a good mind, he said, yes, and I have a good heart. So if you've got a good mind and you've got a good heart, there's not much else you need, is there, growing up, as you grow up that way. There's been a lot of changes over the years. Even when we first came to Fairhaven, it was not unusual to have kids in care that stayed there for years and years and years. Laws have changed. Things have changed. That's not really supposed to happen anymore. There is supposed to be a time limit placed on how long a young man or woman or children or sibling groups, how long they are to stay in care. The goal, when kids come into care, the goal is always the same thing. The ultimate goal or the initial goal is always the same, and that is reunification. Because every child, maybe an exception or two, but every child I've ever known wants to be at home. They want to be at home. They don't want to be at Fairhaven, no matter how much they might like it or have more opportunities or fit in and do well. The goal is that we would like for them to get home. Unfortunately, the bigger challenge is solving the problems oftentimes with the parents, because their treatment plan might include getting a job, clean drug screens, parenting classes, anger management, staying away from people that they don't need to be around. Oftentimes, succession of men in their lives that ultimately leads to problems in a lot of cases. So the ultimate goal is reunification. If that doesn't happen, and it doesn't appear that they're working toward that, then there should be termination of parental rights. Your TPR, termination of parental rights. What that means is that they can ask the parents to conditionally sign off on parental rights, or they can go through the court proceedings and the judge will terminate. And there are laws in place. Unfortunately, lots of things happen that circumvent those laws, and they kind of go in circles sometimes, and it doesn't always happen that way. But that's the goal. We've had children out there Elaine and Jeff had some children in their home when they were out there that had three siblings that were adopted. Brandy and Todd recently had three siblings that were adopted, you know, by good families. And we're involved a certain extent in that. You know, we're involved a little bit in that process. But so sort of how the system kind of works. The challenges that I see us facing are oftentimes no different than the challenges that I've seen for a long time. I think some of the greater challenges is just financial, and I'm speaking from my standpoint. Fairhaven has always been tight on funding, but Fairhaven in the earlier years that I was there, we always had We always had a little bit of what you, I don't know if you call it a rainy day fund or a little bit of reserve fund that you could draw on, that you could pull on if you needed it. And we no longer have that. People say, why? Why has that changed? Well, there's some really obvious reasons. If you really open everything up and look at it, there's probably been as many as close to 200 churches of Christ close their doors in the state of Missouri in fairly recent years. That will impact you. There's also a lot of the support that we used to get, individual support. A lot of those folks are no longer with us. They passed away. And we haven't completely replenished or replaced a lot of that. See, a lot of the Church of Christ Children's Homes were started in the 50s and in the 60s. It's post-World War II years. And it was debated throughout the Brotherhood for 50 years prior to that as to whether or not the church should be involved in any type of support to anything such as a children's home or college or university or whatever. It was debated back and forth and back and forth. And by the late 50s, that debate pretty well was over. And it kind of went to where people started supporting and started establishing children's homes. But the cost of operations continue to go up, and I don't know how you avoid that. I really don't. I don't know how we get around some of those things. We're not an extravagant organization. The administrator doesn't drive a Cadillac, I don't think. I know he doesn't. But anyway, we've got several things that we're going to have to do. When people hear this, they want to know, what are you going to do? Well, we've got several things that we're going to have to do that we need to get together, and we need to start making some plans and considerations. We're going to have to appeal to our churches. We're going to have to ask, can we get more help? You know, we're going to have to appeal to our supporters, individual supporters. You know, we're going to have to get more aggressive with our fundraising, if you want to call it that. You know, what are you going to do? You talk, visit with these other places and things, and well, they have this and they have that. This brings in $20,000 and this brings in $50,000. And, you know, the way I look at it is that pretty much we're going to have to put all options on the table for at least for discussion. If we plan to be sustainable going into the future. And I can't sit back personally, myself, and know what type of commitment those men that I read off to you earlier, I don't think they made the commitment and sacrifices that they made in their life for me not to owe it to the home and to those people and to the congregation to do everything within my power, to keep it going, to keep it solid. It has to be. And there's folks out there that understand and know that. So we've got great challenges ahead of us. We do. We're going to have to, just explore a lot of different options to keep going. We opened the thrift store about 10 years ago, and we still get people that criticize us for having a thrift store. You know, if we didn't have a thrift store, we would be closed. You know, we would be closed, I'm convinced, because that brings in a pretty good chunk of revenue, which goes into our operating. So I present all this stuff to you. Basically, to kind of summarize it, it is your work. I need the help and support of you guys first and foremost. And I'm not just talking about your checks. I'm talking about your prayers, your encouragement, because this congregation is a congregation that started Fairhaven. And people are going to look to you to take the lead. I believe that. If we go somewhere else and talk to that congregation or this congregation, you know, it's an encouragement to be able to say, hey, Watermill is on top of it. The board is aware of it. We're all working together, but we need all of your help. We need your help as well. So that's when I say I need your help, not just talking about your money. Money's great, that'd be wonderful, but I'm talking about you keep on encouraging our kids. You keep on being a force or a factor in their lives. And we all need people in our lives. All, every one of us growing up, if it wasn't for someone in our lives, you know, we probably might not have turned out as well as we did. I'll always believe one thing with children in care. Every one of them needs somebody important in their lives that doesn't get a paycheck for what they're doing for them. Does that make sense? Every one of those kids at Fairhaven needs somebody in their lives that's not getting a paycheck for being in their life. I believe that's true. And by that simply means somebody cares, somebody invests in them, somebody takes their time, somebody that's willing to say, how you doing, what's going on. You know, doesn't mean you have to spend a lot of money and stuff on them individually. Doesn't mean that. It just means that you care. Take time to say hi Greg. You know their name. Do you know that person called me by my name? Yeah, they did. They know you. They know who you are. So, we're going to be busy. We're going to be busy at Fairhaven. We've got a lot of work ahead of us. We've got to get out and about. We've got to make contacts. We've got to visit folks. We've got to visit congregations. We've got to let them know that Fairhaven needs to be here. We got to know, we got to let folks know that our kids still need us. They need them. And we're going to be challenged, and we're going to be excited, and we're going to see how it's going to go. But we've got to do that. We've got to do that for Fairhaven. There's a lot of things I could have said, but I know my time is up. But I do thank you so much. I'll be glad to spend any amount of time with any of you individually. If you want to just ask more specific questions, I'd be glad to do that. I've got more figures than I know what to do with right now on this and that figure and what it costs and what this costs. And I can tell you how much it costs for propane. I can tell you how much it costs for vehicle fuel. I can tell you how much payroll is. And I could go on and on and on and on if you would like to share that, me to share that. But we're going to get busy. We are going to get busy, and we're going to be the best ambassadors to Fairhaven that I know how to be. And we're going to keep proclaiming it as a work of Watermill and a work of the church. And I think that's what we need to do. I don't know any other way to do it. Any of you younger folks that maybe perhaps are not aware as much, we need to get you out there. You need to get out to Fairhaven. You need to come out there and see. Go through a house, come, you know, talk to us. We need to get you out there. You know, it's hard. We don't expect you to sit back and invite yourself, but we need to have some events and activities that will encourage you to be there. As I close this evening, would like to offer an invitation this evening to you. And that invitation is that as the scriptures were read this evening from the Bible, and it talked about, you know, Jesus, and it talked about Jesus's, the importance of children in Jesus' life, and the importance that Jesus said to each of us that unless we become like a little child, you know, the purity, the innocence, the forgiveness, you know, unless we become like that, it's going to be hard for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I thank you so much for everything that you do. You folks are an encouragement to me and to Debbie and to our staff. To say we never get discouraged, I'm not going to say that because that would not be accurate either. But it's not because of you. It's not because of the people I work with, except for Brad back there. He discourages me a lot. He knows I'm kidding. But if there's anything that we can do to help you tonight, anything that you can consider, if you have a problem, if you have something that you need to share with us that we can pray with you about, we would be glad to do so. If you've been thinking about obeying the gospel, we can help you through that as well. So thank you. Remember who we are and who we serve and how we serve. And let's always remember to put God first in our lives. John will now, if you'll stand, he'll lead us in our song, Imitation.